from what I'm reading in various news reports, it seems like some sort of U.S. strike seems inevitable in Syria. Is that the way you see it?
Maybe, maybe not. I'm trying very hard to prevent that from happening. The Constitution is very explicit. The Constitution says that Congress gives the authority to declare war, not the president. The president, when he was a senator, acknowledged this. He said no president should unilaterally go to war without congressional authority. The vice president talked about the separation of powers when he was in the Senate and said if Bush were to go to war without their permission, he would vote to impeach him. So the thing is we should obey the law. We're a country of law, and we should obey the law, and that means Congress should come back in session and debate this. The British Parliament recently did, and turns out that the people's representatives aren't as excited about a new war.
Last night, the president, or the administration at least, did hold some sort of conference call with some members of Congress, congressional leaders, I think members of the Intel committees. Is that good enough in terms of communication with lawmakers?
You can't amend the Constitution with a conference call. You know, a conference call does not replace the Constitution, and if he thinks so, he seriously misunderstands the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything about what's happening in Syria in terms of if a chemical weapons attack did occur, do you fear at all that no type of response, does that send the wrong message to either Assad in Syria or maybe Iran?
I think one thing you should do is find out, was there a chemical attack? Seems like there is evidence that there was. Then who committed it? One commentator recently asked the question, it's a Latin phrase, qui bono, whose benefit is this? To whom does the benefit accrue with you have this attack? Well, it doesn't seem to be helping Assad any. It seems to be uniting the world against him. So there is a possibility that maybe the rebels instigated this chemical attack. I would at least want to see the evidence before launching a war. But the bottom line is, the most important thing is that the people's representatives in Congress get to vote. War's the last resort, not the first resort. War is something that when we fight it, we should fight to win. There is no strategic objective here. Everything that they're pre-announcing is, oh, it's just going to be a few missiles, we're really not going to get involved, we're not going to have regime change. Well, if we really don't have a clear-cut objective or a reason to be there, then maybe we shouldn't be there.
What role do you think the obviously not too distant memories of Iraq and Afghanistan are playing in terms of not just even maybe your calculations, but what you're hearing from constituents and what you're hearing from other lawmakers about this?
Well, we've been at war for nearly 12 years now, and it wears on our military. Our young men and women are brave, and they volunteer to go. But even if you ask our soldiers, are they excited about getting involved in a new war? No, I think they want to defend their country, but we have to make a decision on what is defense of our country and what is an over-eagerness to be involved in a civil war. I mean, there are no good people on either side of this war. On the one side, there are chemical weapons, maybe used by the government. On the other side, there are Islamic rebels who have kidnapped civilians and killed civilians. In fact, one Islamic rebel was seen eating the heart of one of the Syrian soldiers. So really, there's brutality and disgusting violence on both sides. And I don't think there's a clear friend of America in this battle.
We've come used recently in terms of Washington, D.C. politics of things being extremely polarized between Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives. This seems to be one of those issues, though, that may in some ways unite some on the left with some on the right and seems to be blurring some of those lines. What are you seeing in terms of talking with people in your own party and on the other side about their thoughts about the possible intervention in Syria?
This morning, Congressman Yarmouth, a Democrat from Louisville, came out and said that Congress should vote. There are people on both sides of the aisle who think that the Constitution is important, that it provides restraint, it's restraint of unlimited power, and that we should have debate in Congress. 80% of the American people are with us and say we should not go to war without a vote of Congress. I'm going to insist on it.
You've talked a lot about re-imaging the Republican Party and the GOP. Putting a different face on the party for people that may have been turned off by it in the past. Is this issue an example of something that reaches out to people who may not traditionally agree with Republicans?
I think so. And in fact, I think we're in the process of the parties actually switching places. I think the Democrats are going to become and have become a party that believes more strongly in being involved in war. And there are going to be Republicans like myself who believe in a less aggressive foreign policy. I think that's going to attract moderates and independents and people who want a more reasoned and more rational foreign policy. So, yeah, there are people on the Democrat side. Hillary Clinton, for example, is one of the most eager Democrats for war. She's been the one beating the drums to get involved in Syria. So I think when you see that, you may actually have a different scenario than we once had, and maybe the Republican Party will be full of leaders who are for a more restrained foreign policy.
Senator Paul, thanks for your time.
Thank you.